Remember a couple of weeks ago, we read just a few more verses, but we'll just read the two that are for tonight, John chapter 8, verse 31. Actually, verse 29. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word of God. I pray, Father, you just help us as we go through these verses again, Lord, as we find out some more things that we should be continuing in. You'd help us, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just come and teach us. And Lord, if we need some rebuke, may it be applied to our heart. May we do something about it. Let us be encouraged also for what we're, how we're pleasing you with our walk. Lord, please just do a great work tonight. And thank you, Lord, that we can be here amongst God's people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the last time that I preached, it was about continuing as a true Christian. You know, like believing is just not enough, really. Believing, you can say you can believe that you can fly, but until you start flapping your arms, you might find out that you can't fly. So believing really isn't enough. Jesus said the Jews, he saw the Jews that believed on him, and he said, continuing, following me, obeying me is a true sign of a disciple, someone who follows in my footsteps. So believing is one thing, but following seems to be a whole other thing. Well, last 2 weeks ago, when I preached, the message would basically focus outward, really, our influence on the world, and that can be seen by our own personal walk with God, how we continued in the Word, in doctrine, as Jesus said, we also continued in prayer, and how that can affect our lives, and it also affects the world around us. So really, holding the line doctrinally, what I'm saying is walking in the Word of God, obeying the Bible that's in your lap right now, can have a great effect on the people that you see every day. In the life that you're living out there, a great influence upon the world. You know, what I believe should affect how I live, okay? And which in turn should affect the world around me. People should see a difference in me than what I was 22 years ago. When I got saved, my life began to change. I not only believed on the Lord, but I began to follow Him and began to walk with Him. And slowly He changes our lives. So I want to look at our influence tonight, though, on our influence with each other as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. How our lives should be affecting each other and how to be a disciple indeed in how we interact with each other. And the Bible says a lot about how disciples of Christ should treat each other. You know, the greatest thing the world can see is our interactions with each other. And the Lord really should be pleased with how we treat each other and how we influence each other. Because they see, they're out there, they watch the way we talk with each other, the way we intermingle with each other, the laughing, the love that they see affects those people. It really does. So the Lord should be pleased with that. And the Lord has given us the words and the example to follow in His Bible. But being a true disciple of Jesus Christ should affect every area of our lives. All right? It's, you know, Jesus came, and He came in grace and truth. So we don't want to be all truth with no grace. We want to have grace also. We want to have love toward each other. You know, you don't have to just be hard. I'm following the book. I'm holding the line on doctrine. You won't move me, but you have no love in your heart toward each other. So I just want to be a rounded Christian. And the first thing is we want to continue in fellowship. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Ray just quoted that verse. Acts chapter 2. And in verse 42... it says, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So, doctrine is important. Jesus said, continue in my word. And even in this verse right here, it says, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Whatever they were taught, they continued in that. They kept walking in that. They believed that, and they taught that. And it says also in doctrine, and remember we looked at prayers last week, but it also says fellowship. In doctrine, but also in fellowship. Just being together. We need to continue in fellowship, because if doctrine is important and prayer is important, well, to God, fellowship is very, very important. You know, truth is really the greatest and surest foundation for our fellowship. What is it? John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart, as Jesus prayed to the Father. Set them apart. Make them holy. Bring them together as one, Father, in the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. So our fellowship tonight really is based around the Bible. We need the Bible to draw us together in truth and to keep us together, by the way. To keep us together. So the greatest foundation that we can have for our fellowship is truth. And our obedience to doctrine and to the teaching of the Bible will reveal our fellowship. How we obey this book will tell us how tight we can be together as a church, as a group of believers. You know, the people back in the first century here found it absolutely vital to be together. I mean, the church is just forming. There was persecution. They needed to be together. They were in their houses daily with each other, breaking bread and prayers and learning about what the apostles were teaching. They were always together. You know why? Because they were now Christ followers. And they were different from the world around them. And the world wasn't comfortable with them, and they weren't comfortable with the world. And that should be the same way with us. Galatians 6:14 says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." So really, the only thing that I'm going to glory in is the fact that I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, and I want to follow Him and walk with Him and fellowship with Him and then fellowship with other believers. Why? Because I feel uncomfortable out there now. That's not my crowd anymore. I don't spend a lot of time with unbelievers unless I'm trying to win them to Jesus Christ. That's not what I glory in anymore. And the world shouldn't find me acceptable either. I should be different enough that they say, "You know what? You don't fit in." Well, thank God I don't fit in the world anymore. I fit in with fellow believers. But you know, our fellowship starts with Jesus Christ. It starts at salvation. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." So our fellowship started the day that we got saved. We began to gather with other believers. Jesus is the beginning of our fellowship. It all starts with Him. God called us to unite with His Son. And through Christ, we not only know the Father, but we know each other. Frankly, you wouldn't be here for any other reason except that you know Jesus. Frankly, you wouldn't be with a lot of the people that you're sitting with right now, except you know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ binds us together. John 14:6 says, "And He said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." So it all started with Jesus Christ. He's the beginning of our fellowship. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Continue in fellowship. Don't back away from church. Don't back away from coming together, meeting with each other, being together, spending time with each other. It's so vital for the Christian. 1 John 1:1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life," talking about Jesus, "for that life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show it unto you, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." We saw Jesus. We were with Him. And we're telling Him to you. Look in verse 3. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So fellowship with others starts with Jesus. It started the moment that we got saved. And our message to other people should be that Jesus Christ can save your soul and bring you into fellowship with God the Father. That should be our message to people, that they can have fellowship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Now look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. People lose their way so many times and because they just won't be faithful to church. And they won't be faithful to fellowship with other Christians. And they lose their way. And they get isolated. And they cool off very quickly to the things of God. You know, I just thought of that. I mean, the illustration is that when one of the coals gets away from the fire, it cools off. And the other ones are burning brightly. And they draw heat from each other. If you just move that other coal over against those burning coals, it'll start to heat up again. But the people that aren't here tonight, some can't be here. Some just can't be here. But some have chosen not to be. And they just continue to cool off more and more because they're just frankly not around us. As weird as we are, we are the fellowship that they need. We're the burning coals to heat them up and to help them, frankly. I mean, look, what would we do without each other? Where would we be if we didn't have each other to pray for us for something that could seem minor to some, but to pass a test? I mean, people were praying. That helped my wife. That's a good thing, you see. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, and there is, isn't there? There is fellowship in Christ. Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. So Jesus is the glue that holds this whole thing together. As I said, we wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for Jesus. We'd be somewhere else. We wouldn't even be saved. But since there is consolation in Christ, there is comfort of love in Jesus Christ, there is fellowship of the Spirit, there are vows of mercies, He says, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love toward one another and the same fellowship, being of one accord and one mind. That's something we all need, to have the same mind. Isn't it funny that people from so many different backgrounds and so many different cultures and all of a sudden have one mind because we have one book? Turn to John 17. John chapter 17. Because we have one book that we follow. John chapter 17. Remember, he said in verse 17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look down in verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus Christ wanted his followers to be one according to the truth, and to be gathered together in truth, that they all may be one. And here's all these different people coming together, in fact, in the church, Jew and Gentile, from all these different backgrounds, and we all think the same thing. We all believe the same thing because of the Bible. That's strange, and that's good, because we're unique. We're unique. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and in verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord. You see that word? Continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So every day they were assembling together. Every day they were assembling together. Every day they were with each other. You know, I'm really with Christians every day. Now, before I got into the ministry, I would go to work. Just like many of you, go to work. And I'd be mingling with unsaved people all the time. And there'd be cursing and there'd be things that I always had to avoid once I became a Christian. And so it's a lot harder sometimes to be a Christian when you have to go to work and put up with the things that you put up with. And when they say, sometimes they say, they have a joke they want to tell you. They say, it's a clean joke though, because they know you're a Christian. And how many times do you say, oh, okay, you sure? And then they tell you the joke and you go, why did I listen to that? But I mean, it's just harder when you have to go out into the world to stay a Christian. But we should, you see. But I'm with Christians all the time. Every day down in the office, we spend a lot of time together. My thing is to get out of the office, to get around the unsaved so I can talk to them about Jesus. And I spend enough time around Christians, I want to get out there. Just yesterday when we were up there in Arklow, that was wonderful. That was a great Saturday to be around so many people that had the same burden to see churches planted all over Europe. That revived me, and I told two preachers that. I said, you just revived my heart today with your preaching. We ought to be around each other a lot, as much as we can. Because in the first century church, now obviously it was a little different. Many of them weren't allowed to go home after they became Christians. So they spent time together, a lot of time together. And frankly, the world has gone full circle. Now we need to spend a lot of time together because the world has absolutely nothing to offer the Christian. Absolutely nothing. But we have a whole lot to offer the world. If we go out there, it should be to tell them about Jesus Christ. Okay? And we're only going to get stronger if we spend more time with each other than just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Yeah. More time than just Sundays and Wednesdays. We ought to be finding time to spend time with each other. Singleness of heart. And there's a lot of adversity, a lot of troubles, but they were together in genuine joy and gladness, it said. In gladness and singleness of heart, they continued daily. You know what that means? They had their mind was at rest. Their heart was at rest. They were drawing peace from the fact that they were together with each other. And they looked forward to that. They were just happy in the Lord, you see, to be together. Now, what ruins our fellowship? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's what happens many times. We just ruin our fellowship, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, because we fellowship with the wrong things. We get involved in the wrong things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Wrong associations. Just being around the wrong people. Hanging out with the wrong people. And that's the problem in verse 14 and 15. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together." What fellowship do we have with unrighteousness? What fellowship does light have with darkness? It has absolutely no fellowship. When you turn the light on in a room, the darkness goes out immediately. It has to go. It can't comprehend the light. That's why you feel uneasy around unbelievers. Many of us spend way too much time with our unsaved friends. In fact, why do we have unsaved friends? Why are we spending too much time with them? Why do you spend so much time with people who are not drawing you any closer to God, but drawing you away from God? You need to take a look and see why I spend so much time with people who don't know Jesus. Because they're not helping you one bit. You need to spend more time with believers. And you need to spend more time, look at verse 16, without your idols. And we all have them. In verse 16 it says, "What agreement at the temple of God with idols?" So we are the temple of God. And we do have our idols. And they're up there. Money, sports, video games, computers, TVs, even a hobby can distract you from your time with God and distract you from your time with others. Too much time with the TV, too much time with the video games, and just spending time alone when you could be out spending time with other believers. They're idols, and they capture our attention, and they're worshipped. Sorry. And they're worshipped. They get our money, they get our love, they get our desires, but not God, and not other people, not other believers that we should be with. These idols. Now look, I know I'm looking at you and you look stone-faced, but you have idols in your life. You do. You'll spend hours in front of the TV set. Hours in front of computers. iPhones and video games and even a hobby that doesn't allow you any time with believers, you wouldn't go to an event because you're just doing what you want to do, or you're spending time with your idol. Look, we have them. We all do. And they're worshipped. And they're served. We give them our time. And we give them our talents. And we worship our idols instead of being with other people. We need to cast them out. They're unequal yokes. And they're not drawing us any closer to God. And they're not going to help us when we need to pass a driving test. Or when a baby's sick. The iPad's not going to help us. But another believer can be on their knees praying for us. That's what I want. Fellowship with other believers. I want to be close to God. Not serving idols. I want to be serving God and close to His people. So we need to continue in fellowship. It's important to God and it's important for us. We need to continue in His love. Look in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Be together a lot. As much as you can. John 15:9 says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue," there's that word, "continue ye in my love. Continue ye in my love." Jesus' earnest desire was for Christians to love each other. And our love begins with Jesus. And that love that Jesus has for me is shed abroad in my heart that I might be able to show that love to others, other believers. So, it was the earnest desire of Jesus Christ that we would love each other, to continue in my love, just the way, same way that He loved me. Look at 1 John 2:5. I think the reason that we don't experience the love of God and not able to show that love to others is because we're disobedient. I know we don't want to hear that, but that's just the truth. When we're disobedient, we don't have the love of Christ abiding in us the same way we do when we're close to Him and obeying Him. So how can we possibly show love to others when we're not sensing and feeling the love from Jesus Christ? Because we're disobedient. In 1 John 2:5 it says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." Hereby the love of God is perfected. It grows, it matures. Why? Because we keep His word. So many times we're not able to give love to others. We're not able to help other people and love God's people because we don't feel the love of God ourselves. Because we're disobedient. We're away from God. We can't love each other until you love Jesus the most. Many of us, have other idols and other things that we love more than Jesus Christ. And there's no way that we're going to love others till we first love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I tell Kathy all the time, and it helps me, is that I have to have my vertical love right first. I have to have my love relationship with Him first and the best. I love Him more than anything else. And when that's fixed and when that's right, then this can take care of itself, the horizontal love toward each other. There's no way that I can love my wife better and the way I should until I first love God. You say, you mean you love God more than your wife? Amen. I hope you do. Amen. Because you'll never love your wife the way you should until you love God first and most. And that's a problem many times because we just think that to love someone is to just do all the time. And sometimes we put the person almost as an idol before God when we need to keep this relationship right with God first. And let God lead in that horizontal relationships in our life. We need to continue in His love, He said. You know, back in John chapter 15, go back to John chapter 15. You know, the context there is about obedience. It's about fruit bearing. In John chapter 15, those first few verses are about fruit bearing and obedience. And God wants to bring forth fruit in our lives in verse 8. And then in verse 9, He says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love." Verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So it goes right along with 1 John 2:5. If you want to love God, you need to obey Him. And you'll abide in His love. And you'll be able to show more and greater love to those that are around you. But it starts this way. Before it ever gets out this way, you have to just love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus somehow draws closer to obedient children. You know, you get a special relationship with Him when you obey Him and show your love toward Him. You don't feel love, God's love many times because you're disobedient and you're away from Him. And there's no way that you can show love to others around you until you get your love relationship with Jesus Christ fixed. Now turn to John chapter 13, just back. John 13, look in verse 34. The people answered him, where am I? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So how is someone out there going to know that I'm a disciple of Jesus? Just by the love that I show to you. And the love you show to me. They somehow say, wow, that's weird. Look how much they love each other and care for each other and treat each other. I'm telling you, it magnifies the Lord. It brings glory to God. To be distinctly His disciple, we need to love each other. That you love one another, how? As I have loved you. Well, I thought about that a little bit. And just the night before I left, I began to read farther. And in verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Now he's saying that because in the verses before 34 and 35, he said, I'm going away. And where I'm going, you can't go. So Peter now says, you know, you can't follow me, Peter. And then Peter said unto him, Lord, in verse 37, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. You think you love me that much, Peter? Peter wasn't ready to do that. And we know that he betrayed the Lord three times. Now turn to John 21. It helped me to understand why Jesus asked Peter three times. And Peter got grieved in his spirit about why he was being asked if he loved Jesus. In verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he says the same thing. Do you love me? And he said, I love thee. And he said, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So now I think Peter's getting ready. He really loves the Lord. And the reason I know this is because Jesus goes on and says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. You did what you wanted, Peter. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. What is he saying? Well, verse 19, this spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Peter was now ready. Why? Because he got stronger physically. Because he fell in a deep, abiding love with Jesus Christ. He was willing to give his life now. Now he was ready. Because John 15:30 says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Peter had matured. And we need to mature like Peter. We need to be willing to lay down our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way he loved us, isn't it? It says, love others, love each other the way I've loved you. Well, how did you love me, Lord? He laid down his life. That's why Peter had to be brought to a place where he would finally say, I've given my life for you. And he was willing to do it. And then he was able to minister to others. We can't minister to each other until we're first able to lay down our life for Jesus. That's a tall order, but that's where it starts. I really believe that. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And in verse 9 it says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. So it's a basic fundamental commandment. You've already been taught this. Jesus taught them that. But the good thing about it is, it needs to increase more and more and more. And you can't do it. You can't generate a fruit of the Spirit. God's got to do it. The Spirit has to do it. So we have to increase our love to Him by coming to a place of complete obedience. And having that relationship with Him, and He brings that love into our lives. You remember the woman in Mark 14 who broke the alabaster box? Why? Because she loved much. She was forgiven, but she loved much. She didn't care who was around. She didn't care what they said. She didn't care about nothing. She just wanted to show her love for Jesus Christ. Hey, Andrew and Jennifer had just gotten here. They've been here a week. God's going to test your love. For Ireland, how much you want to stay here? He will. And good. It's good that He does. He'll test our love. How much do we really love Him that He's brought you here? And what's it going to take to quit? What's going to stop you? But He's going to test that. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 2. Colossians 2:2 says that their hearts might be comforted. Being knit together in what? Love. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge, acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. All that we know about Jesus Christ. But our hearts are comforted. Paul said to the church, Paul's desire for the church, that you would be comforted in love. Through mutual love for each other, comforts our hearts. Because love is such a strong bond. And it's really needed in the church. Why? Because we're family. That's frankly why. We're so close that we can rub each other the wrong way. Unless we have love for each other, the same way a family does. We need to have deep, abiding love for each other. Because we're so close now in the family, and we've come from so many different backgrounds. I was going to take you to Ephesians chapter 2, but it's a long passage there. I'll just show you the one verse. Just turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. About how the wall of partition was broken down between Jew and Gentile. And now the church wasn't Jewish. It wasn't Gentile. It was the church. They were Christians together. And in verse 19 it said, Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You're a family. And we rub each other the wrong way sometimes. And what's the old adage there? You always hurt the one you love. Many times we hurt each other. We're going to have to get over it and have a lot of love for each other. And be knit together. I like the way Pastor did that one time. Instead of just like this, we kind of turn your fingers and you're knitted together. You can't pull it apart when something's knitted together. I could pull my fingers apart until I knit them together. And you can't pull it apart. We're together. We're going to be together forever. So we need a lot of love with each other. There's going to be times when we just say the wrong thing to each other or rub one person the wrong way by what we do. You're just going to have to have a lot of love for each other to get through those times. That's what's going to comfort us. Because of our struggles, because of our current struggles, we're going through some things, each of us. And we need to just have a lot of love for each other. Only the love of Jesus Christ can hold us together. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. and in verse 7. 1 John 4, 7 says this. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." So true disciples indeed, should love each other. Why? Because they're loved of God. They're saved. They're saved. Disciples that are disciples indeed will continue in the love of God. Because that's what the verse says. Let us love one another, for love is of God. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It comes from God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. That means you're born again. Because you have the love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. So we need to love each other. Is Jesus enough for you? Is Jesus enough for you? Think about that. Is Calvary enough? Did He show His love for you? If that love abides in you, then you should be able to show that same love to others. When that love gets down deep in our heart, we can show that love to others. Is Jesus enough? Then continue in His love. And finally, continue in His grace. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And in verse 43, Acts 13, 43, the Bible says this. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Continue in the grace of God. He didn't say anything else. He said, go on in the grace of God, because you're going to need it. You're going to need a lot of grace toward each other. And from the grace that you've received from God. Grace is so important to remember. Why? Why? Because it's the very loving kindness of God that you got saved. The very unmerited favor of God that we even had the opportunity to get saved. And that, frankly, should give us a pretty grateful heart. That God would give us something that we didn't deserve. That would allow, grace is the kind of like the foundation. He said, by grace through faith. But we needed grace. And just to think that God gave me something I didn't earn because He loved me. That should be enough to go on and to go on as a Christian and to do the right thing. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. How do I want to say this? 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 9. Paul says it so well in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because of grace, we ought to press on. Always press on. In verse 9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." Does it sound like he's boasting? Not a bit. "Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." It was all about grace for Paul. He knew what he was. Do you know what you were? You realize the pit that he pulled us out of? You realize what our destination was? And all because of grace, I'm going to heaven. We need to extend that grace to each other. Paul and Barnabas told those believers, continue in the grace of God because you're going to need it. You're going to need to have grace with each other. The same grace that was offered to you. God's attitude. God's action and ability that He would give that grace and that love and that salvation to us. So I just think that loving kindness toward me ought to promote a grateful heart. I ought to always be thankful. You know, when I had nothing to offer, He offered me everything. I really had nothing to offer Him. I was in a pit, just like you were. He had nothing to give God, but He offered me everything. And that should be enough, totally unmerited, totally unearned, to help me to press on. That's what's going to keep me going. Through all the struggles. Remind yourself that the next time you want to quit. And give up a Sunday school class. Or let's get out of Ireland quick. It's too expensive to live here, and frankly, I've got to get out of here. Nope. Just remember, God brought you here by His grace. And you're going to stay here by grace. Remember that the next time. Because quitting shouldn't really be an option. But when it does, get along with God and remember what grace has done for you. Everything that you have was unearned and unmerited. He gave it to you. Remember who He is. He's Almighty God. He is Almighty God. He can take the breath out of your lungs, like He told, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson there, Belshazzar. He could take the breath right out of his lungs because He didn't glorify Him. He could do the same thing to us, but He's not. He's our Heavenly Father. He went from Almighty God, and He could be our judge, to our Heavenly Father and our Savior. Just who He is. Remember that. Turn to Titus chapter 2. We're almost done here. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." You know, grace teaches us. It instructs us to deny some things. And it also tells us how to live. Grace. To deny something means to reject it. To not receive it or embrace it. And you should be able to say, "I refuse to live ungodly. I refuse to live ungodly." Why? Because of God's wonderful grace in my life. I wouldn't even be in the position that I'm in now without grace. It should teach me that I shouldn't live like I used to live, because grace brought me out of that. Deny ungodliness and live soberly and righteously. That's what grace should do. It should teach us. Why? Because He did so much for me. As I said, is Calvary enough? Isn't Calvary enough? Didn't He pay a high price? Isn't that price high enough? I think it is. To just deny some things and live a certain way for Him. Because that way I can extend grace to others. We need to continue in His grace. And I added one. You just turn over to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, and we'll be done. You need to continue in fellowship, continue in His love, continue in His grace. It's the glue that holds us together as this local church. But Romans chapter 9, and in verse 1 it says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brother and my kinsman according to the flesh." Do you see that? That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. That's what I felt yesterday when I looked at that map of Europe and I looked at all those people there. Because the lights indicate there's cities there, there's towns, there's people all over Europe. And hell hath enlarged itself. And there's just so many people going into hell every day. I need to have some kind of sorrow in my heart. I want to continue in sorrow. Heaviness of heart. I don't ever want to think, "Well, so what? Who cares?" I don't ever want to not be touched by that. I always want to be hurting for people who are lost. I think we need to continue with a sorrowful, heavy, burdened heart. I'm telling you, you need to get that. Because this church is heading forward as a church-planting church. It is a church-planting church. We need to all get together and have a good burden for the lost. Don't forget the lost. Well, Jesus wants us to continue in His Word to show ourselves true disciples. Not just saying we believe up here and that hasn't made a difference in our lives. Disciples indeed. To affect our world and each other. Not just out there, but with each other. Also affects that world out there by loving each other, fellowshipping with each other, having grace toward each other. Fellowship, love, grace, and also a burden for the lost. Having a burden for the lost. Have you really walked in His steps lately? Because Jesus wants us to fellowship and continue in His love and just be like Jesus. Amen? Let's pray.